ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying the Maitreyi Yajnavalkya Brahmanam. Yajnavalkya started teaching Maitreyi. In our last class, what we saw was that the whole creation is a manifestation of Brahman. We were studying this 10th mantra in this second Brahmana, 4th chapter, and there he gave a beautiful example. Yajnavalkya gave a very beautiful example. When we put some wet fuel into fire, then what happens? First of all, Ardra Agni. Then so much of smoke comes out. It won't give pure fire. Then sparks will come out. Only when all the wetness has completely been dried up, then it will give pure fire. But what Yajnavalkya want to teach is, this universe is nothing but like that fuel, wet fuel, put into the real fire. What is the relationship? Everything, the fire, is nothing but the fuel only. But in order for that fuel to become one with the fire, it had to be dried up. Jnana agnihi sarva karmani bhasmasat kurute. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna had enumerated it so beautifully, that when knowledge, the fire of knowledge, Jnanagni, arises, then it burns all the impurities. But we have to understand slowly. It takes time. But in the end, Bhagavan will remove all the impurities. So all the actions, that means all the desires, are completely burnt out. Or rather, they become fulfilled when we become, when attain oneness with Brahman. And that oneness is nothing but knowledge, cognitive oneness. Not that we ever lost it. We were Brahman, we are Brahman, we will be Brahman. But this cloud of ignorance comes in between and makes us think that we are anatman, not atman. But through spiritual practice, slowly, our minds, hearts, that means intelligence, becomes pure. As the intelligence becomes purer, the type of thoughts that arise in our minds, the type of actions that we perform, the type of speech that comes from our mouths, all correspond to that purity. That way, slowly we progress. Finally, one realizes one has never been separated from Brahman, and then the person becomes free. But what is the connection here? That the whole creation is not like a potter making a pot, but like the clay manifesting as innumerable products, like pots, etc. So this is a small pot, this is a big pot. They are just names and forms. There is no reality to it. It is nothing, they are nothing but pure clay only. Every ornament is nothing but gold. Every furniture is nothing but wood. So, in order to illustrate that, then Yajnavalkya says, even so, my dear, not the entire srishti. Here is something very interesting for us to understand. If a poet wants to create a poem, first he must formulate that poem. That's called knowledge. And then he can talk about it, he can write about it, it can be printed, etc. So if a goldsmith is given some gold and asked, I want a ring or a earring, nose ring, necklace, according to one's wishes, customer's wishes, so he modifies that very gold into what is required. But then, if the goldsmith has to do that, he requires knowledge, how to melt the gold, what type of mold he has to use, for whom, for whose size. If it is a baby, then the ring must be smaller. If it is a necklace, same. But if it is a grown-up, fat person, a thin, small ring will not do the purpose. What is the point? Point is knowledge is required. So this I have to transform into this kind of product suitable for this particular purpose. Knowledge is necessary. So the knowledge, how to create, what to create, how many things we have to create, everything is given. And that knowledge, which contains all these knowledge, all these information, are called Vedas. From Vedas, that's why he says, evam va are, addressing Maitreyi, asya mahataha bhutasya. This great being, nishvasitam, just as it is so easy to breathe out. Sometimes it may be difficult to breathe in, but breathing out is not difficult. Evam. So, in the same way, yat Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, Atharva Angirasaha. Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda had just emanated from his very breath. He need not have struggled it like ourselves. Not only that. So the subsidiary scriptures. What is a subsidiary scripture? That which explains the main tenets, teachings of the Upanishads, Vedas, in crystal clear language, in the form of stories, fables, analogies, similes, etc., etc. So, all these things are called itihasaha. You get, there was a person called Shvetaketu. He was the son of Aruna. So, like that, it is a real story. There were persons like that. So, the person who composed this Chandogya Upanishad, he came to know. So, citing certain facts, when we give lectures, then we cite Sri Ramakrishna. He was born in Kamarpukur, then he came to Dakshineswar, then he had some gurus to instruct him. He did this, he did that. That is called itihasa. Thus, it had taken place. It was thus, what we call in English language, history, Puranam. We know mythologies. It is said, when Vedic rishis were performing Vedic yajnas, and they were chanting, and from morning till evening, sometimes some yajnas are there, which last for 12 years. Dvadasha Varsha Satrani. Ordinary people, they had the complete faith in that, but they may not have the intellectual equipment. For that purpose, there are Pauranikas are there. These Pauranikas, what do? They take the essence and then in the form of stories, they illustrate. For example, we have the story of Satya Harishchandra. We have the stories of, even though Mahabharata is considered as an historical piece, but from another angle, it is nothing but explaining an analogy, explaining deeper truths through the story, narrating the story of Kauravas and Pandavas. Life is a battlefield, and in this battlefield, our bodies and minds are the fields, and here within the fight is going on from very birth, from very beginning of our creation. What is the fight? Between evolution and staying in the same place. Something says, I want to evolve. Something says, no, I am quite comfortable where I am, what I am. No, that will not do. This potential divinity is pushing everybody to evolve. So this fight between the good and the evil, between dharma and adharma, between truth and untruth, between knowledge and ignorance, goes on and on and on. So stories are there. Then there are vidyas. Vidya means here some kind of special meditations, etc. Of course, we all know about the Upanishads. They're called Vedanta because they come at the end of some greater portion, a Brahmana, etc. And then there are several slokas are there, very meaningful mantras expounding some higher truths. Then there is Sutrani. Sutra means an aphorism. An aphorism is a mnemonic. A mnemonic is a device to remember huge amount of what we read or what our teacher is trying to pass to us. After a long lecture, summarize the whole thing in a very few sentences. And those sentences, if the student memorizes, whenever he remembers this sutra, then he recollects whatever the teacher had taught. In fact, a sutra means a thread. Just as Sri Ramakrishna says, so somebody buried a great treasure in a lake and then he tied a small thread and then kept that thread hidden on the bank and he marked where he kept. So whenever he wants some money, he comes there and goes to the place where the thread is completely tied and hidden, and with that help, slowly he progresses towards the treasure box, takes out what he wants, and then he comes out, ties it back, and then covers it back, and then returns home. So a sutra is a thread. As we go on pulling, we finally come to the bigger and still bigger truth, and ultimately we reach the highest truth. And then to these anuvyakhyanani, vyakhyanani, there are commentaries for people who do not understand. And even those commentaries are unable to enlighten. Then other people like Anandagiri, they add explanatory notes, anuvyakhyanani. And all these, where from they have come, asya eva etani nishvasitani. All these things have come out of that great being, which is Brahman. They're all exhaled from it alone. Exhalation is an illustration of easiness, as if it is nothing, no effort is needed. Just as we breathe in and breathe out, even in our deep sleep, it is like that. So, all the effects, which is called samsara, which is called this creation, are from the one consciousness. And who is going to sustain? If a mother gives birth to a baby, who is going to look after the baby or children? Only the mother. And she nourishes the children by her own flesh and blood, first in the form of milk. What is milk? Mother's flesh, diluted to suit the digestive capacity of the children and sustained by it. Go on sustaining. After some time, of course, the earthly mother cooks, but the divine mother, she herself feeds herself. How does she feed? So the food comes in the form of the earth, Annapurna. Water, we are sustained by the higher Bhuta called waters in the form of Jaladevata, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, or Thames, or Amazon, whatever it is not water, it is not a lifeless element, it is pure manifestation, unadulterated manifestation of Divine Mother. Then the Son comes in three forms. So he produces with his food, with the help of the moon, he endows it with tremendous nutrients, and then he created earthly fire through which we cook our food. Not only that, what we call pickles, etc., they're all dried by the sunlight alone. And then we eat it. We cook it, we eat it. Can we digest? No. Again, the same Divine Lord, the Agni Devata, Surya Devata, Sun God, Fire God, he manifests in our stomachs, in each body, in the form of Vaishvanara Agni, digestive power. Look at the wolf, look at tigers and deer and every animal. They require whatever energy is required, that food is reconverted back. What is food? Energy converted for our sake is called food. And what is digestion? Food reconverted back into energy. And that is what happens. So it is the Divine Lord in the form of the Agni. So he produces, then he makes it cooked. He cooks it for our easy digestion. And then, even then, after that, he digests it for us. And then he sustains us. All that he wants us. So recognize me as your mother, as your father. That's all. So that is what Srishti, creation, Sthiti, maintenance, sustenance, Laya, and also every effect must go back to its cause. So we have seen how the whole thing has come out of that great being, not with effort, effortlessly, just as we breathe very easily, unconsciously. How many of you are taking count of how many times you are breathing in and breathing out? Unless somebody is suffering from asthma, etc., then we value how valuable this freely provided oxygen is, how valuable carbon dioxide is. So we are depending upon somebody, and somebody else is also depending upon us. That is the process going on. But who sustains it? So the sustenance power also is given to us in the form of the body, in the form of the mind. And to illustrate this, not only Brahman is manifesting, which is called creation, the sustenance, which we call in Puranic language, Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Parameshwara, Shiva, Rudra is the one unto which, or he takes us back into himself, that called Laya, mergence. Now, he wants, first creation is described, the whole creation is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. Then who is going to sustain it as long as it doesn't go back? It is only the Brahman. Brahman in the form of the five elements. We have seen three elements. Then for us to sustain, for every living creature, we need to breathe. Even sharks, whales, they can go to the very depths of an ocean, but every now and then they have to come out to take that sustenance called oxygen. Plants require oxygen. Every living creature requires oxygen. And God is providing that oxygen in the form of Vayudevata. The point we should not forget is, he is not giving us sitting somewhere like a rich man doling out some help, food material or cloths, blankets or money to poor people. No. He himself is entering all in the form of all these five gods, presiding deities. So, who is sustaining? Brahman in the form of the five elements. So fourth one is Vayu, oxygen. What is the fifth one, last one, finest one? Akasha. Energy means activity. For activity, we require space. Even if we want to move our hands, our heads, even our small finger, even for our food to enter into the stomach, if there is no space, it cannot enter. Water cannot enter if there is no space. So, that capacity to move, that is called Akasha Devata. So, Brahman, in the form of these five elements we call it, but five devatas, five gods, is sustaining the entire creation. And how does he do it? By creating the human body, human mind. For example, Brahman had become, let us say, a tree. And how do we know? Because there is a tree outside in the creation. But in order to experience it, we require eyes. So Brahman has become the eye in each one of our individuals. And who is sustaining, who is endowing it with the power of seeing? It is Brahman. So if we want to hear something, and Brahman manifests in the form of the ear. So five sense organs of knowledge, the eyes, the ears, the nostrils, the tongue for tasting, and the skin for touching. But that alone will not do, because we can get knowledge. A paralyzed person can get knowledge that there is tasty food in the fridge, but he cannot move. But if he is endowed with hands, feet, so Bhagavan himself had become the five sense organs of action. So he moves us, the body, to that fridge. He tells the hands, grab that and put it in the mouth, and the tongue and the mouth starts chewing, extracting the juice, enjoying the taste and flavor, and then it goes down, and there it has to be digested again by God in the form of the fire. In every way, he is manifesting as this universe. He is sustaining himself and he is going back into himself. That is the law. Whatever is created, that is called effect. So the effect must come from something, at that cause, that is called cause. So cause is manifesting as an effect, and after some time the effect has to go back into the cause. A common example is given. A tree grows up from a seed and it yields fruits and seeds, and again it becomes seed. Then from the seed again tree comes. So this eternal circulatory process, like a wheel going up and down from cause to effect, effect to cause, this Brahmachakra is going on all the time. So this 11th mantra, Yajnavalkya wants to clearly tell us that it is all possible only because of Bhagavan manifesting as the some of the main instruments, causes he has given. We will analyze it. First let me read out. Saha yatha sarvasam apaham samudraha eka ayanam evam sarvesham sparshanam tvak eka ayanam evam sarvesham gandhanam nasika eka ayanam evam sarvesham rasanam jihva eka ayanam evam sarvesham rupanam chakshuhu eka ayanam evam sarvesham shabdanam shrotram eka ayanam evam sarvesham sankalpanam manaha eka ayanam evam sarvasam vidyanam hridayam eka ayanam evam sarvesham karmanam hastau eka ayanam evam sarvesham anandanam upastha eka ayanam evam sarvesham visarganam payuh eka ayanam evam sarvesham adhvanam padau eka ayanam एवं सर्वेषां वेदानां वाक् एक अयनम्. लेट् मी रीड् औट् दि ट्रान्स्लेशन्, एनलैज् वन् आफ् देम् अण्ड् देन् वी आर् एबल् टु अप्लै डीटो टु आल् दि अदर् थिङ्ग्स् अण्ड् वन् आर् टु एक्स्प्लनेशन्स् ऐ विल् एड् इन् बिट्वीन्. फस्ट् दि ट्रान्स्लेशन्. एस् दि ओशन् इस् ए सिङ्गल् converging point of all waters, so the skin is the single converging point of all touch, the nostrils of all smells, the tongue of all tastes, the eye of all forms, the ear of all sounds, the mind of all thoughts, the heart of all wisdom, the hands of all work, the organ of generation of all pleasures, the anus of all excretions, the feet of all walking, and speech of all the Vedas. Now, let us go back one by one, and as I said, I will just explain one, and we have to apply ditto ditto. So, Yajnavalkya is teaching, my dear Maitreyi, saha yatha sarvasam apam samudra eka ayanam, just as samudra, the ocean, is the one source from which every bit of water all over the world, all over the cosmos, is coming out only from the samudra. Why this example, samudra, ocean? Because ocean means almost infinite. An ocean never dries up. So how does it happen? Again, it is the grace of God. What happens? Here is a ocean, water is there, of course it has got lot of salt, but there is the Agni Devata, Jala Devata is there, which is the ocean. Then Agni Devata is there. What does the Agni Devata do? That is called Surya Devata, in the form of the blazing sun, day or night. Remember, there is no day or night from the viewpoint of the sun. It is only from our viewpoint, when we cannot see our sun, we call it night. But from the point of the viewpoint of the sun, it is nothing but all the time it is there only. So what does this Surya Devata, sun god, do? Through its heat, it lifts up, distills, that is a beautiful word, distilled water we call it. So every impurity from the ocean is purified, and pure distilled water alone, it draws up and it forms a watery cloud, and with the help of the Vayu Devata, again, look at it, because without wind, the cloud cannot move, but look at it, the cloud cannot function unless there is Akasha Devata, sky, space. If there were to be no space, then there would be no clouds, no space. Where to? Even to store the ocean, space is necessary. To keep anything, any object, space is necessary. So space is necessary. Space is there. But space alone will not do. Again, Vayu Devata, God in the form of the air, wind. So, it has to move, and it moves. So, the Agni, the heat of the sun, draws up the water, forms it into a cloud of water, and then the Vayu Devata, for what purpose? For sustaining every created being, presiding deities. It drives across to the highest available elevation, tops of mountains, etc. Not only that, even on earth also it will come, but mostly the rivers are forming because of this mountains, etc. And it again converts it into water. The water cloud now becomes pure water. The steam becomes water, and that water comes down. It starts flowing. Where does it flow? Slowly. Drop by drop, it falls. As it comes down, it forms many other drops joined together. Then it becomes very small, narrow stream. Then it becomes bigger stream. Then it creates its own path. As it comes down, the power of the water, we know now, the Nepal disaster had clearly proved how nature cannot be neglected, insulted, or misused. It will come back to us. And that is a fact. People are not understanding the simple Vedantic teaching that these Panchadevatas, they are not prayed, people don't believe in them, and we are polluting our own mother, our own Panchadevatas. And this is the result. When gods get angry, then there is famine, there is flood, is untimely rain, or the locust swarm, earthquakes, all these things, tsunamis, they all happen not as part of the nature's work, but the anger of the gods. I don't know how many of you believe in it. This is what Bhagavad Gita says in the 3rd chapter. So he who receives all these blessings from the presiding deities without offering to them, he who, like a rakshasa, asura, like a demonic person, tries to enjoy it, he is considered a thief. Stena eva saha, tair dattana pradayebhyo, given by them. They don't want it, but they want loving acknowledgement. Oh mother, you are sustaining us. Without you, I could not have lived. That loving gratitude, that is called worship. Without worshipping them, offer them the same things. Not that they lack, not that they desire, but just to make our gratitude visible, to be acknowledged. And then they will be pleased. And they will give more. You give, mother has given you some 5-6 chocolates. You give one to her back, ma, mom, you also eat it. And then mother will be pleased. She might give you a dozen more, seeing that you love her. God only wants our love. He doesn't want anything else. There is no need for him. He is everything. So, what are we talking about? That the sun god, out of infinite compassion, works only 8 hours, 10 hours, 24 hours a day, from every ocean that is available, lifting waters, carrying them to higher altitudes, and doing visarjana, pouring them down, and it comes back, and they becomes, in course of time, huge rivers, and then they again join the ocean. But in that process, every jiva gets water to drink, or cultivate lands, fields, and enjoy life in every way. So drinking water, cultivating water, and every way, all this food is sustained. And not only that, they are also depend. Panchabhutas are manifested as dependence upon each other. There is earth without water, without fire, without air, without sun. It cannot sustain. Earth cannot stand. Water is useless if there is no earth. Fire is useless if there is no earth or water. If there is no living creature, without this, there is no living creature. Without living creature, oxygen is meaningless. And if there is no living creature, space itself is completely worthless, useless. Every bhuta combines together for sustaining this creation. And the creation has come from where? From the mixture of these 5 elements. And upon death, where do these bodies go? Even minds go into the very causes from where they have come. That is the idea we have to meditate upon. So, the root cause of all waters is the ocean. Eka ayanam. One source. That's all. Then we have to understand, suppose touching is very necessary. Because when a mosquito touches, you feel one way. When fire touches, you feel another way. When it is very hot, then, or very cold, then their saving factors your body, your skin tells you. In fact, all pleasures or pains come only from this touch. Every sense organ of knowledge is also nothing but a different manifestation of touch only. So when smell touches our nostrils, then only we can smell. When forms touch our eyes, then only we can see. Our eyes are not going there. So we have to touch. When food touches our tongue, then we enjoy the taste. When sounds enter into our ears, touches our ears, then only we enjoy it. We understand what is the sound. So, some of the sense organs, some of the what is called sense organs of action and mind also, not all the 10 sense organs are not given, but majority of them are given. But we have to understand that what is called summary essence is that without Brahman manifesting in the form of all the 5 elements, which are in the form of what is called space and air and fire and waters, and then earth, which is nothing but forms, sounds, tastes, smells, and touches. The whole universe is nothing but a 5-dished product. If you go to a restaurant, I want to eat 5-course dinner, 5 dishes. The whole world, as Swami Premeshanandji puts it, is nothing but 5 dishes for us to enjoy. All the organs of the action, like hands, legs, etc., help us to obtain, to digest, and to enjoy them in every way. Even what is undigested has to be thrown out. That is even more important than digestion. So, all, what is it? Tvak. Tvak means the sense organ of touch. Most important. That's why if the skin is burnt, not only it is the organ of touch, if it is burnt, then life will be a danger. Then all the harmful microbes, bacteria, everything can enter into the body. That's why our body has a peculiar protective layer. As soon as some injury is there, immediately blood tries to flow out, washing out all the germs which want to enter, and then seals it up with what we call some matter, which is painful to the touch, so that we do not injure it again. How many ways Bhagavan is not only creating us, but sustaining us, protecting us. So, the one organ, whatever be, it is cold, it is hot, it is pleasant, it is unpleasant, for everything, there is only one because of which we are able to understand it. And that is called the organ of touch, the sense organ of touch. So, every experience we have of touches, it is this sense organ which gives us that knowledge. This is a touch. This is hot, very hot. It is very pleasantly hot. It's very cold. It is freezing, etc. So these are all saving factors for us, enjoying factors for us. Similarly, gives every smell that we smell is nothing but the nostrils, sense organ, nostril, it alone has the capacity. Not only that, every sense organ of knowledge can do only its own function. The eye cannot hear, eye cannot touch, etc. And the same thing with sense organs of action. The legs cannot do what the hands do. The hands cannot do what the legs do. Of course, a little bit they can do. So also, every organ has a specialized function. So, from the specialized function, that gives knowledge of even if there are 10,000 smells, 10,000 touches. So, 10,000 types of water, whatever it is, apply it to all the sense organs. So Nasika, the nostrils, is one source. And if it loses its source, you cannot touch anything. If the skin, for some time, burnt, it loses it. Some peculiar disease is there. When it loses its power of feeling the touch, then whether even a burning coal has fallen upon me and it is eating up all my flesh, burning all our cooking, my flesh, I will never know excepting through the smell. Similarly, all the tastes, there may be billions of tastes, and all that tastes, the one source of enjoyment experience is jihva, the tongue. Similarly, all the forms, all the colors, how many colors? Main colors are only three, but their combinations are almost countless, infinite. For that, the eye is the only source of that experience. And then for all the sounds, it is the ears. That is the only source of all of our experience. And for whatever desires or determinations we do, sarvesham sankalpanam, mind alone is the one. That is why without mind, in deep sleep, you don't have desires, you don't have hatreds, you don't have likings, love, hatred, likes, dislikes, feeling lonely, feeling overcrowded. Nothing can be experienced in deep sleep because our being withdrew itself from both the gross body and subtle body. It is there in a causal form, but not functioning at this time. And that is why with all the source of all our thinking, desiring, wanting, and trying to fulfill for everything, manaha ek, eka ayanam. Mind is the only source. Similarly, sarvasam vidyanam hridayam eka ayanam. Similarly, hridayam, a heart. Here heart means buddhi, intelligence. Sarvasam vidyanam, whatever knowledge we want to get. Because the mind, after getting knowledge only, after the intellect decides what is desirable, when it is desirable, how much is desirable. For example, the Buddha says, this food is desirable, but it has to tell what time it is desirable. Not at midnight, not at other times, only when I am hungry. And not only that, how much quantity? I cannot tolerate this. I cannot digest this much. Only this much will do. If it is a family, of course, they will calculate how much curries, how much rice, how much bread has to be bought or prepared, etc. The buddhi, the intellect, the understanding capacity has to do that job. So, sarvasam vidyanam. You want to master physics, chemistry, or any science, it is the buddhi that is necessary. You want to understand the theory of relativity by Einstein, intelligence is necessary. So that is what hridayam means, buddhi. Buddhi means the capacity to understand. Then he comes to the body. So sarvesham karmanam hastav, two hands. So you want to grab something. For that, these two hands only. You want to grab anything, the both hands. Sometimes, of course, one of the hands will do, but sometimes both hands. Hands are necessary. It is the only source of our grabbing, bringing it to us, etc. Similarly, sarvesham anandanam. We get ananda from all the five sense organs. But then upastha means generative organ. And it is a fact, whether you understand it or not, accept it or not. The pleasure, even an animal, not to speak of human beings, get, the greatest pleasure is this pleasure of sex, generative organ. Why is it so? Because I explained it also some other time. The simple reason is this. You can get pleasure from any other sense organ like the eye, ears, nostrils, and yet you can divert your mind while listening to music, you can read, dance, while smelling something, you can eat food, while watching something, you take popcorn and eat. But sex cannot be done, truly speaking, you have to think over it. When the mind is indifferent, it is distracted, it is thinking something else, sex can be done, but there would be no enjoyment. That is where the sexual act, it focuses the mind completely. Until the act is over, the mind will not allow any other thought to enter into it. Before, yes. After, yes. Not during, it will not be possible. And that is why any pleasure that we get is finally attributed to sexual organ. I can also expand it a little and say, every pleasure that we get through any of the other five sense organs is nothing but included in this sexual pleasure. It is the greatest source of sexual action, is the greatest pleasure that is available to animals. They fight, they destroy, kill each other, and wars are taking place between ants, between mosquitoes, between any creatures, because they must be getting something. Even they are ready to sacrifice their lives, not to speak of only human beings. They are ready to kill, they are ready to die for the sake of the sexual pleasure. So that is why it is said this upastha. Then of course, this greatest pleasure comes from payuhu. Payuhu means what? So any poisonous material, undigested material, or even something is sitting and creating havoc in our stomachs, it has to be vomited or it has to be purged through the lower organ, anus, etc. And that is also a source of the greatest pleasure. So for doing any excretions, the example of the organ, sense organ of this, what is called the throwing out the undigested material, that is considered the only source for anything. And it is called, I think, Udana Vayu in Prana. Prana is divided in that way. So, Ut, it throws out. Evam Advanam Pado Eka Ayanam. So, wherever we want to go, our feet, so covering distance, short or long, the feet are the only means. So, if feet are not there, you cannot simply travel. Of course, you can travel in a car, in a jet, that is a different issue. But it is even to get down into the aeroplane, get out of the aeroplane, or for that, you require legs, without legs. But a wheelchair is also a substitute for a leg. An aeroplane is an extension of the leg. A car, a train, a bicycle, these are all extensions of this one. Just like a telescope, a microscope are extensions of our eye. Similarly, earbuds, etc. are extension or micro, what is called amplifier, etc. extension of our ears. But if these are not functioning, the extensions are completely useless. So, the feet are the only source for traveling and covering the distance, etc. But finally, Yajnavalkya concludes and says that if you want to understand the Vedas, walk, speech is the only resource. Why? Whether we want to understand by sitting at the feet of the teacher, whether we want to teach it to others, the only way of communicating, we have to listen. Nobody is born with that knowledge. So in this life or in past lives, we have to do that. Walk, eka, ayanam. So, walk, speech. That is why speech is what is called Guru Parampara system. That is why it is called Shruti. Shruti means what is heard. And how do we hear? Only when somebody speaks, through our ears, we hear. Speech is the only source of understanding any vidya, whether it is worldly vidya or spiritual vidya. What does Yajnavalkya want to convey through this? He wants to tell that the gods, the panchabhutas, are manifesting in the form of these five sense organs, and presiding deities are manifesting at different parts of our body, of our mind, etc., making life possible to experience, to gain knowledge, and to use that knowledge. So, finally, all these are the manifestations of Brahman. So, Brahman is experienced through, as the outer world, through our body-mind complex. The experienced is Brahman. The experiencing capacity is Brahman. The organs through which we experience is Brahman. Everything is nothing but Brahman. In other words, the what is called sthiti karanam, sustaining power. The only root cause is Brahman sustains us. He enjoys himself. He experiences himself. This is the essence he wants to convey. And Maitreyi definitely understood, because there were no questions at all. But she had a question at the end, when she was confused by one statement of Yajnavalkya, which we will see in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.